welcome to Not Shallow. I'm Rebecca Collins, and this is episode 9 of Not Shallow, and I'm dedicating today's show to trends. Just going to be talking about some fashion trends and some food trends, maybe some recreational trends later on that you might want to be up on. You want to be in the know. I know that I do. I love to read about trends and talk about trends, and then rarely do I actually do anything about them, but I feel compelled to know what's going on. And there's nowhere that this is more true than in the world of fashion. I don't do much in terms of fashion, I feel like, but I like to know what's happening, and I read rather obsessively about it. And I'm just sitting here right now at my desk getting really pumped, you guys, for fall fashion. I've gathered some online articles that tell me what I should be excited about, what the trends are. And my favorite trend, I'm going to go right into this because I'm pretty excited, is geek chic. Sometimes it's referred to as granny dressing. I think that's more of a UK kind of take on it. But geek chic, media outlets are holding up the character of Margot Tenenbaum from the Royal Tenenbaums. This was Gwyneth Paltrow's character in the movie The Royal Tenenbaums. She's being held up as a fashion icon for fall with the ratty fur coat and the polo dress and oxfords and barrettes and lots of eyeliner smeared all the way around the eyes for that raccoon effect. And I've totally got this. This is not going to be hard for me. I love oxfords and tights. I love things that don't match. I have a faux fur coat that's a couple sizes too big for me. So I'm thinking I can just get that thing out and I'm ready. I'm not sure if the world is ready for me in this trend, especially if barrettes get in the mix. I mean, I'm not sure at my age I can put barrettes into the mix. Maybe the faux fur and some barrettes on a trip to the grocery store is what I need to rock. But I'm ready for the trend. I'm thinking it's pretty much a more fashionable little Edie Beal from Grey Gardens. So, okay, maybe don't wrap your sweater around your head secured with a brooch, but yes, do wear the brooch with a t-shirt or a polo shirt. Also, the color mustard. You have to embrace mustard this season. Do look like the world's oldest and most haggard prep school student who's flunked several times. Do that. That's how you embrace geek chic. So I'm excited. It's not about sex appeal. I think that the size of our eyeglasses, for example, are only going to keep expanding until they're back to the size of personal pan pizza from Pizza Hut, if those are still a thing. I can't remember the last time I had one of those. Is anyone out there still eating Pizza Hut? Let me know if you want to put on our faux furs together and go to Pizza Hut and eat personal pan pizzas, because I think that's something that this trend would embrace. So I want to give a quick rundown of some other fall fashion trends, because you're probably out there shopping right now, but you're directionless, not knowing if you should go skinny or wide, short, long, purple, green. I hear you. So here are some trends. I did some research. Trends you're going to want to incorporate into your wardrobe for fall. Number one is prints. Prints that probably would look great on 1970s upholstery. So think flowers on backgrounds of velveteen amber or avocado green, the aforementioned mustard, octagons on velveteen, that sort of thing. Number two, while we're at it, anything 1970s. So yes, the pants suit, the culottes with the knee-high boots. It's a full-on Mary Tyler Moore kind of fall. Three is heavy, chunky, snuggly, stripy, over-the-top knitwear. You're going to see lots of humongous scarves, Apparently also skinny scarves. I don't have a lot of use for the skinny scarf. I live in a cold climate. I need the big scarf with my face peeking out from a mound of knit. You know, I'm lifting the pumpkin chai latte up to my mouth with both hands and shivering in the fall breeze as orange and red leaves just fall down onto me and, you know, snag in my knitwear. I've seen that. So snuggly knitwear, big, oversized. Women should be looking for a male look to their sweaters. Androgyny is big, so embrace men's sweaters. I think the term they love to use for this is the boyfriend whatever. So the boyfriend cardigan, the boyfriend jeans. 4, oversized military coats, preferably with a belt. Blanket coats, also a thing. Basically anything you can drape or hang on your body that swallows you up. And one of my favorite things I saw was a military coat, and then they had styled it with basically like some kind of cord, maybe from drapes. It was like a silk cord with big tassels on the end, just kind of tied around it. And I'm just thinking, that looks so great in the magazine photo, I guess. But then think about the utility of that on a day-to-day basis and how that cord would look after you've tied it and untied it like 20,000 times over the winter. We're just like this frayed, dirty. I mean, you know, the first thing that's going to happen is your tassels are going to fall on the bus floor or just fall in a puddle on the sidewalk or get stepped on. And then they're going to be the dirty tassels. But, you know, you don't have anything else to hold your coat shut, so you keep using it. I mean, maybe that's just me, but that's what I'm seeing. But you're supposed to have something kind of wacky to tie it shut with. And also, again, as I said, make sure it's kind of big. So snuggly, chic, big coat hanging on you. It's so great the first day you wear it in November. And then it's an oppressive sleeping bag by mid-February. And it smells like that time you went to the Chinese buffet with your friends. And it sucked up all those smells, and you are too cheap or too busy to take it to the dry cleaner, or like it's your one coat and, you know, whatever, you're not going to take it to the dry cleaner. You need it. So you just go around smelling like that. Yep, that's pretty much what's going to happen. 5 is faux fur. I don't think this has ever been out of style since, you know, 2001, but they're really still pushing the faux fur again with the Margot Tenenbaum kind of styled coat. I guess you can go real fur on that if you're that kind of person. I personally don't believe in that. So I'll be wearing my faux fur. And they're showing lots of fur, faux and otherwise, on shoes. And I do caution against this. I think that that's going to look terrible after one wearing. 6 is the turtleneck. Turtleneck sweaters are back, people. And also, in a gross way, the dickie. Which, I mean, oh, why? I mean, at least if you wear a turtleneck, you get the benefit of the shirt being on your body and possibly providing some warmth. I mean, I guess the point of the dickie is you want the look of a turtleneck without the fabric on your body. I'm not really sure, but yes, dickies were a thing in the runway shows, but turtlenecks are back. I'm not probably going to be doing this. I really burnt out on turtlenecks in 4th and 5th grade. I mean, I took the turtleneck to places it did not need to go. And I was the kind of person who would just wear a turtleneck as a shirt. And I mean, yeah, I was a kid, so it's probably fine. But yeah, I don't think I'm going to be doing the turtleneck. That would take a lot to get me into a turtleneck. 7 is one that I really love. Dark Victoriana or evening goth for those of us with day jobs who can't be our trend-setting selves during the day. This might be an evening look that you could embrace. So we're talking black leather, black lace. Doc Martens are back. The truth is that the fashion world is just now getting around to cannibalizing steampunk. So this is what we're seeing. And I think a little black lace goes a long, long way. So caution there. you know, don't mind me over here in my granny blouse and purple tights. You know, what the hell do I know? If you want to go straight up Elvira with this, that's your prerogative. This is not to be confused with Nouveau Victorian, which is not about being dark and goth so much as it's about the high collars and the ruffles and the lace. And here, you know, you can go full Bronte on this, full Wuthering Heights if you want. I would actually advise that. If you could pull off dark Queen Victoria goth, that you're a fashion hero. 8 sheer tights back, as opposed to opaque tights or those thick tights that we've all been wearing. Sweater tights are a thing. You know, I think there's a time and a place for sheer and a time and a place for opaque. So I'm not giving them up. I'm not giving up the opaque tights. But yeah, sheer. It's a thing now again. 9, loafers. Loafers are the new Oxfords, people. I think if you do this, you gotta go tassels. So here's where I am advocating for tassels as opposed to on your belt. But get some tasseled loafers. 10 mid-calf boots are in. And stompy shoes, also a lot of times called creepers. Those are the big platform shoes. I guess this means that riding boots may finally be out. And that's okay with me. I gave up on riding boots a few years ago, and it was more because I wore out the pair I had, and I just felt too cheap to re-up. And then I went ankle before everybody went ankle. And last year I had mid-calf, so kudos to me. I guess I'll be dusting those off. I don't know where I stand on this whole boot question. I'm going to have to sit with myself in a still place and find the answer. And I trust the process. I'm sure I will come up with something and resolve my boot dilemma. But it's going to be, I'm thinking I might go Doc Martens this year. So also 11, embroidery is having a big moment. And this falls under the broader category of bohemian glam. This is good news to me because I sat around all last winter embroidering on this man's button down I got at a thrift store. And I mean, I'm talking like it's full on Mexican folklore embroidery. I don't really know what I was thinking. And by the time I finished it, it was too hot for long sleeves. That's how long it took me. I was just doing this thing by hand. And it's been in my closet. And now all of a sudden I read that embroidery is having a moment. I'm going to be rocking it this fall. And I found an article about embroidery in a Las Vegas newspaper. I thought their thoughts on the matter were interesting enough to share. Embellished light jackets or flower embroidered skirts will make your office look special. I don't know about that. Folkloric patterns of Eastern villages and fauna are sure to be seen on short and mid-length vests and jackets. I caution against an Eastern village scene on a vest. I don't know exactly. I'm picturing like women outside cooking things over pots, and then there's like the scary castle in the distance and like bats flying through the air. I don't know what I'm getting. Maybe there's a plague going on. I just don't think that's not the look we're going for. Fauna, I do like that. Flora and fauna, fine. Try to choose one embroidered piece at a time to create balance. Make it yours by wearing embroidery wherever you want to highlight your attire and be confident to wear it on formal occasions, as well as for picnics, luncheons, or meeting friends. I just kind of wonder, like, who plans a picnic outfit besides Kim Kardashian? And even then, she's going to wear like some bodycon dress that she can't sit down in. So I don't know. Formal occasion with embroidery, maybe. Not sure about that. But that's the fashion wisdom live from Las Vegas. And 12, it's something that makes me really happy, is wide leg trousers are back. This has been building, people. I've never completely abandoned them, but it was hard to find any to buy for a while there when it was all skinny. Skinny's still in. Don't worry. If you are into skinny jeans, apparently they're still a thing. You can still wear them, but it is wide leg bonanza out there, and I am going to stockpile them so I can wear them for decades because I'm at that age now where I can buy a rather, let's just say, more well-tailored, more expensive pair of trousers, wide leg, like I'm Katharine Hepburn, and keep them for 10, 20, 30 years and just keep wearing them. That's where I'm at, and it's kind of a relief. And I want to say something about going outside your comfort zone when it comes to fashion, because it sounds like I'm pushing all these trends on you, and I think it's a good thing, but trends are not good if they cause you distress. And I have an example. One morning this summer, I went to work, and a woman who works in my office suite came in wearing a new pair of sandals. And they were sort of in line with the Roman lace-up sandal trend. They were not over the top. These laces did not go all the way up her calf, as we've all seen in some photos. They were not over the top, but they did, you know, some crisscrossing laces. And I actually did not notice them at first, but another coworker came in and said to her, "Nice sandals." And this woman in the sandals just froze. Like, she would not take another step. And she just said, "My sister talked me into these, and they are outside my comfort zone. They're way outside my comfort zone." And then she just stood there, paralyzed with fashion fear, and she just kept reiterating, like, "way outside my comfort zone." And I guess she just wanted us to know, like, these are not really her. And she wouldn't move. So she looked like my dog when my dog encounters something on the sidewalk she doesn't want to touch with her feet. Like, there's these trees in my neighborhood that they drop these messy berries all over the sidewalk. And when we would get to a patch of them, it's covered with, like, berry goo. She just freezes up, and she just cannot handle the idea that we're going to walk over these berries. And I usually, you know, let her go around them by walking in the grass or even out in the streets. We're not in the berry zone. I'm pretty sure that she felt that way in these sandals, and that these sandals are going to be at the back of her closet worn one time. And I've done it. You've done it. You know. If you're not a blanket coat person or someone who can wear a humongous scarf that looks like it's eating your head, don't buy it. Or buy it and give it to me, because I can rock a blanket coat and a big scarf. The best thing I've purchased over the last couple of weeks, because I know that you care, is this thing called the Academy Blazer from The Gap that I found in a consignment store. I don't know if they still make it. I wonder if it's like an old, like, last season or a couple seasons ago thing, but it's awesome. It's a blazer, as I have just illustrated. It's this weird blue color, kind of like the upholstery from movie seats in the 1960s and 70s. And it goes with anything. It goes with mustard yellow. So I'm in business. And if you can scrounge up one of these Academy blazers, you get it. You get some baggy jeans that you can roll at the ankle, not dark wash. Get some Oxfords or loafers. Maybe you already have some in your closet. And then you get, like, some button-down shirts and some t-shirts. These t-shirts can be cheap. You know, just they're under the blazer. The blazer is the star. And that is your go-to outfit for fall. It can be your fall uniform. So there you go. You're welcome. Coming up next, food trends. Not necessarily for fall, but just food trends in general, things that you want to be aware of, things you could be eating right now. And I just want to say that there was nothing consumed on mic in this upcoming food segment. So if you're someone who really can't stand listening to people eat on the radio or on a podcast, which, like, who can? There are no food sounds in this upcoming segment. Okay, I'm here with my sister Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
And we are going to talk about food trends, trends in food that are on the rise. And so we've gone on quite a little eating spree this morning, trying out some new foods.
All in the name of research.
That's right. There's a lot of different things mixed together in my stomach right now. I'm feeling a little weird. I have some kefir in there, and I'm sure there are, you know, my weight in chia seeds inside my stomach.
They're expanding as we speak.
And hopefully, I don't know, what are chia seeds supposed to do for you? That's what we've been kind of trying to decide. Our first eating experience was we went to a newish place in Minneapolis called Agra Kitchen.
Agriculture.
Yes. I just call it Agra because it's my new place. And we went there because we, you know, we saw that they have
bulletproof coffee.
Bulletproof coffee. Mm-hmm. And I got really excited when I saw they had chia seed pudding. Apparently, it's only served until 10 a.m., which is a very narrow window to get your chia seed pudding. But we got ourselves there. Damn it. I was not going to be denied that pudding, which now in retrospect, I'm like, what was all the fuss about? But so let's describe what bullet coffee. I call it bullet coffee.
I think it's bulletproof coffee.
Why is it bulletproof coffee?
Well, I'm sure we could research that, but offhand, I don't remember.
I don't remember, but it's buttered coffee.
Correct.
Some people call it buttered coffee. Mm-hmm. And it's coffee with butter in it and coconut oil and sometimes something else.
It's another kind of oil.
This did not have that oil in it because, as our server explained to us, that's too expensive.
Right. He was very enthusiastic about the bulletproof coffee.
Yeah, he brought it over to our table and he was just glowing. He said, I hope you're ready for this. And I was excited then.
Well, he said, is this your first time having bulletproof coffee? And we said, yes, we're here to try it out. And he like lit up like a Christmas tree.
Right.
He was like, he's very excited.
You are in for a treat.
Yeah. And so he explained the whole process of how it's butter and coconut oil, and they don't use the other kind of oil because it's too expensive. But the reason behind it is to have some kind of oil-based substance to bind the caffeine to so that you don't end up with that jolt of caffeine in your body. And it's supposed to slowly release the caffeine throughout the day. So it's kind of like those slow release cold tablets you can take that, you know, like they're just work for hours.
But number one, most people drink coffee because they want the jolt. So
that's how I like it.
Number
like
two, can't you just eat some food then with your coffee?
When why wouldn't it bind to the food?
I don't know. I kind of feel like that's some snake oil that we're just sold, but
certain people swear by it though. Like that's what their breakfast is.
Yeah,
is the bulletproof
but
coffee.
Isn't it like some of these cups of coffee could be like 800 calories is something I read online.
Yeah. Well,
which was online. So that means it's true. So,
well, with the amount of butter and coconut oil, I would think it would be pretty full of calories.
And I don't drink coffee. So to me, it just tasted awful because I think coffee is awful. And then after it cooled down and it had an oil slick on top of it, it was like a thick shake of oil and butter on top of coffee. It was kind of separating out and it was really kind of nasty, I have to say. My first drink of it was just like buttered foam. So I was like, oh, this is not good. But you are a regular coffee drinker. So what was your impression?
It had a very kind of weaker coffee flavor. And I like kind of, well, I do take milk and sugar or cream and sugar in my coffee. I can't drink it black.
Oh.
But I do like more of a strong flavor to it. So it tasted kind of like weak coffee.
Did you taste the butter? You kind of taste the butter. It's
more coconut. You could more taste like the coconut oil.
It's very much in the background, but it's kind of like a thick aftertaste.
And you know, you could choose between the small, which was a 12 ounce, and a large 16 ounce.
Imagine.
And usually when I get coffee like at Starbucks, I get the huge one because I drink that right. much coffee. But I'm like, I better try the small. And I'm glad I did because I think half was left. By the end, I was really trying to force it down.
Choke it down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just... No.
I don't know. I just can't see it. I need to have some food in the like. That's not gonna. That could never be my only breakfast.
Kind of thumbs down for me on the bulletproof coffee.
Thumbs down.
Although, like we kept saying to each other, like we'll talk about that with the chia seed pudding. If somebody delivered it to you every day,
no, not the buttered coffee.
Well, if they delivered
deliver that to my door every morning, I'd be
well.
Like,
you're not. Yeah.
Why are you doing this? Just creating more work for yourself.
Put it with the bulletproof coffee already.
You know what? You can pick up yesterday's coffee because I never touched it. And I guess leave that coffee. Well, so I do have a comment to make about the chia pudding right off the bat. It was $5. And it was a little cup of pudding. I mean, I was expecting a lot for my $5, but then in retrospect, you just can't eat that much chia. No. The two of us ate it, and it was more than enough chia paste. I was expecting at least a sweet pudding. The thing you should know is that chia pudding is not sweet. It has zero taste.
I mean, chia pudding is coconut milk.
Chia seeds.
It was coconut milk, right?
I have no idea.
I can't remember because I did make some myself one time. I can't remember if I used coconut milk. Yeah, you did. I did. Coconut milk and chia seeds, and you let it sit overnight because the
seeds expand.
The seeds expand and it gets thick.
But there's no taste to it.
No. You're supposed to put fruit and stuff in it.
They put fruit.
So,
there were strawberries, blueberries, and then some very
tough,
disgusting honeydew, which they hid underneath the pudding. I noticed.
I did get one little chunk of pineapple, which was delicious.
Yeah, well, if you have some honeydew to unload, you just hide it underneath the chia pudding. They put almonds on top.
That was good.
So basically, order some fruit and some nuts because the chia pudding's not an ad. Now, what are chia seeds supposed to do for you? Because chia seeds are kind of a theme of our day. They're in everything.
They're in everything.
And when we were at Whole Foods, we discovered you can get chocolate-covered chia seeds, which chia seeds are about the size of a head of a pin. And someone has put chocolate coating around those.
Individual seeds are chocolate-covered.
It's pretty weird.
It's not even like a cluster.
No, it's individual.
Yeah.
And they're so expensive. It's like you could...
Which is crazy because they are the exact same seeds that you use on chia pets that you could buy at Walgreens.
You always it's the have same to bring seeds. That up. So well, I was eating my chia pudding and you said, you know, these are the same seeds that they put on the chia pet. So then I started thinking of that one that's Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, his head that you like slather with the chia seeds and it grows like an afro. And that's all I could think about was eating my pudding. It's like, God, you can eat this or you can make it into some kind of decorative item.
They're so functional.
They're so multifunctional. So I don't know, like, do those seeds, like, sweep out bad things from your insides? Is it all about the antioxidants?
Well, I think we were kind of looking.
Probiotics? I'm very confused.
We were looking them up online and basically it's a good source of fiber.
Oh, well, I can get fiber from a lot of things. I don't need those seeds.
And omega-3 fatty acids, protein. They're pretty nutritious. They have lots of micronutrients, it says. It's one of the most nutritious foods on the planet.
On the planet, people.
Apparently, yes.
And I have a whole belly full of them right now. I mean, I'm feeling, you know, a little sick, but also at the same time, I'm glowing with health. Yeah. So the other thing that we ate at agriculture was two big old plates of eggs, which was
yum,
really good. Just go there and get regular food. Do not try. I mean, it's worth going.
It was good. It was delicious.
Food is A+, but you know, you don't need all this other crap.
Just go with the usual meals,
right?
And not
get something substantial. So the other trends, more food trends that we want to talk about. What's going on in the world of snacking?
Right.
We found some really good info on our new favorite website, which is called Food Business News.
Oh, yeah. Food Business News.
I believe it's called Food Business News.
Yeah, .net.
.net, yep. Not .com.
So when we were talking about bulletproof coffee, because we were going to talk about what the new food trends that are kind of out there, weird. And I guess bulletproof coffee has been around for like at least a year now.
Oh, but yeah. Well, here.
Yeah.
Probably longer on the coast.
Yeah, that's probably already gone right now. Rebecca sent me an article that she found about bulletproof coffee on that website. And I was like, wow, there's a whole website developed around food news. So I started searching and I found the most excellent article that talked about snacking
trends. What's
going
on? What's going on in the world of snacking?
And apparently there are fancy food shows that happen twice a year in different cities around the United States where they bring out the new snack products.
I would love to go.
I know.
I mean, do you have to be an industry insider?
I think you do.
With credentials? Because I would like to just go to the fancy food show.
Because I have to say, I tried to read more articles on that website and it wouldn't let me. I had to register.
What?
You could only read a certain number of articles before you had to register. And then when you registered, you had to say like what business you were in and who you worked for.
I would say that I worked for...
I think I said I worked at Nestle.
I think mine, I'm going to go on there and I'm going to register and I work at Chia Surprise. All things Chia. I'm a product manager at Chia Surprise. Well, I read an entertaining article on there about sandwiches as well. And what's going on in the world of the sandwich? I mean, what's left? What frontier has not been...
Oh, they will find something new.
They did. They were still trying to revive the panini, which I feel like panini's had its day. They were talking about croquettes.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
Wow, you just got really excited.
So, but anyway, the article about snacking trends mostly revolved around ethnic snacking, as they termed it.
Ethnic snacking's on the rise.
And
ethnicity.
The way that the article was written was unintentionally hilarious.
It's really funny.
There are some excellent quotes about the subject of ethnic snacking.
Right.
You know, the article starts out talking about how people are kind of getting used to this old ethnicities.
Oh my God, this is so terrible.
I know, it's awful. People have now incorporated taco night.
It said that, I think it said something like consumers have become comfortable with taco night.
And spaghetti night.
Okay. if you're just now getting comfortable with spaghetti, who the hell are you? What the hell?
Lasagna.
Come on. Yeah. It's like, lasagna. Ooh, a stir fry.
So ethnic.
Okay, we can do it.
But now they're getting ready. We're starting to approach the time in our lives when we can branch out into some other cultures other than Mexican and Italian at home. We do go to restaurants.
Right, right.
But so one way to do this, to slowly
introduce the
new flavors.
Get us comfortable.
Put our toe in the water is through snacking.
Yes.
And this person from wherever said, this is her quote. She's a global trends analyst, apparently. I think this
I
is what
I
kind of
want to be
said.
That.
I know. No kidding. Yeah. She said, the opportunity with snacks is consumers can't get enough of snacking. And snacking is something that can introduce them to these new flavors. We have popcorn and potato chips and non-chips and pumpkin seeds that really are brining in these different flavors.
Well, the first one was Greek, which I thought was hilarious. I'm like, what? We're just now getting into Greek?
To me, that seems like it's been done.
I think it's been done.
Thai, Indian, Korean, Peruvian, and African, which seems to be a large...
Somehow that's the whole continent.
Yeah, the continent of Africa.
Right. Anything.
Right.
Those are the hot food areas.
And possibly Brazil because of the World Cup being there, and now the Olympics are going to be there, so people might feel more inclined to try that.
Right. I feel
because there's some sports events being played there.
That's often how I find new foods.
Yeah.
I wait for the Olympics.
Yeah.
And then I think, like, what does that culture eat? So let's give a rundown of things that we found today at Whole Foods that fall into the ethnic snacking. Well, we did find the naan chips.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I have to say, you can't really tell the difference between a naan chip and a pita chip. I can't once they're baked. But these were tamarind.
Which is a fruit.
Which is a little strange. They weren't really spicy.
Well, because I think tamarind is more, it's more sour flavored, I think.
Oh.
I don't think I've ever had it. I think I've had it like in candy before, like Asian candy. But so it had kind of a sourish taste to the naan chip.
A little.
They're okay, though.
They're pretty good, but they're not going to knock your socks off.
Right.
They're not.
One of the other flavors was what? The green chili curry?
Yeah, which you talked me out of, which I kind of wish we would have gotten.
Yeah, that might have actually been better, but.
I mean, a naan chip, a pita chip. I mean, come on. I really feel like.
Got some flavor on it. They're all kind of the same.
Yeah, I didn't think that was very special.
Yeah, they were okay.
Then we had some ancient spice crackers with turmeric, it says,
yeah,
with an exclamation point. I think it's because turmeric is what, like, kind of expensive or rare, so you're supposed to be really excited that you have turmeric on your crackers.
No, I think it's also supposed to be really good for you.
Oh my god. So these are gluten-free, right?
Yeah.
Gluten-free. And the let's just talk about what's in this then. So here's what the flour is made of, the blend,
mm-hmm.
gluten-free. Tapioca, sorghum, potato starch, brown rice flour, whole grain quinoa flakes, mesquite flour, sprouted black bean flour, sprouted buckwheat flour, amaranth flour. That's what's in your... And then these also have chia seeds, mm-hmm. which... I think we should all buy stock in whatever farms are raising these seeds, because
it might be too late.
crazy. But my opinion of these crackers is just like, they are so dry.
Very dry.
Oh my God. I ate one and I was like, I'm done here. Oh, it's just like dust. It's a dusty, dusty cracker.
It does bring to mind like some ancient bread.
bread that I've never eaten.
Yeah.
But if I imagine bread that was made in ancient times, it was very dry.
That's just how I imagine.
And so we've come all this way just to be back to this like ancient dry bread.
What would be like you? These aren't really something you just want to sit and eat plain.
No.
Like I can eat like.
I don't want to eat them with anything.
Yeah.
I don't.
Not
those are
really.
Not gonna. Those are going on the snack table at work.
Here
you go, coworkers.
Here's some ancient spice
dry crackers. Yeah. Now I think that the thing they need for marketing for this though is that this gluten-free flour made of all these things. They need to say that it was like ground with stones.
Right. They don't
ground with stones like by hand. Then they could charge even more. The going rate at Whole Foods for any snack is $5.69. I've noticed this.
Pretty much everything.
Everything
costs
we
that.
Looked at.
Every snack item.
Was $5.69.
Mm-hmm.
Which is about as much as the chia pudding.
Just the packaging is just cracking me up. Like how these, you have to try to entice people to
right.
get to eat these food products.
So these are Mary's
Gone Crackers.
This seems like a state fair food to me. Mary's Gone Crackers booth. Come on over and get your ancient grain crackers on a stick. So then we thought we were being all... I was really excited because I'd heard about this popcorn called Pop Art.
That was in the food, the website.
It was
they
suggested
it.
On uh-huh. Food Business News. So yep. You know it's good. Foodbusinessnews.net. And
they're suddenly going to get a lot more traffic.
And they're going to get a lot of weird food, made up food companies. And
yeah.
I really am. Please, nobody else register for Chia Surprise because that's my company. So anyway, I've been hearing about Pop Art. I was really excited because it's gourmet popcorn with crazy combinations, food combinations.
Well,
we got the nori sesame. Ooh. Wow. That is like fish food, people. And then there was this exciting flavor that we couldn't get. It was like Thai Cree something popcorn.
I'm going to continue to look for
I
that.
I don't
though.
Think they had it there, but they would have it at other places maybe.
Yeah.
So I like I like this whole concept here, this whole concept, but I can't, I mean, I'm going to put my face in the bag. Yeah, that's not happening. I just don't think I can eat these.
It's just, I mean, of course, nori is seaweed, but you know,
I didn't think it would be so fishy.
Yeah.
It's like fish popcorn, but it does not top seaweed chips, which, you know, that's pretty innovative. And we got the Korean barbecue flavor because we heard, you know, Korean is on the rise. Oh, my gosh. I think this is inedible. So when I opened it up, I had a flashback to a smell that I had not thought about in easily 35 years. Which is that it is exactly like the fish food that I used to feed my goldfish.
And Goldie.
Yep. It was not very innovative in the name. I used to feed the goldfish and I would open up the can of, unscrew the top of the fish food and put my nose in there when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
Same exact thing when I opened these up. That smell waved it up and I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I did eat one and that's it. I think if you like seaweed... Or if you were raised on that flavor.
Well, yeah,
it's different.
I mean, obviously, it's a popular thing in Japan.
I like sushi that's wrapped with nori. I have no problem with that.
Well, this is just so much. I mean, anything dried is
so
the flavor
concentrated.
Is right. It's so much more concentrated.
Maybe you could share with us the story.
Well, that's the packaging. Once again, is they always have to have an interesting story or something that goes along with how this food was created.
I can't snack if I don't feel connected to the creator.
Exactly. So it says, seeing, S-E-A-ing, is a believing. We're four dads who loved to snack, and we discovered, and we loved seaweed. But we didn't love how messy it was to snack on seaweed.
Is it really that messy? I mean,
I'm not a big seaweed snacker, like, so I don't know. Is it?
I don't know.
Crumbly? Okay. I'm not sure.
How did they solve the solution?
Well, so we set out to make something better. This Ocean's Halo seaweed chips. Oh, maybe because they're chips instead of... I think the others are like thinner, flaky. I don't know.
Okay.
And I don't really want to know.
So you're like eating it while you're driving and you're just a big flaky seaweed mess when you get to your destination.
Yeah, basically. Like you have like green dust and flakes all over your face.
Your upholstery is just... seaweed flakes. It's really hard to eat.
So Ocean's Halo seaweed chips are crispy, crunchy, and crafted with seaweed, an ocean-farmed superfood that's packed with protein, vitamins, and minerals.
I mean, I believe it.
Yeah.
I'm not disputing that, but it's just torturous to eat. How much protein is in a serving of these things?
So a serving is about, oh my God, 26 chips.
Oh, it would. That's torture.
I could eat 1/26 of a serving. I could eat like.
You'd eat 26 of those chips to be of a serving.
To be a serving.
I mean, that's torture. You could get information from someone out of someone before they finish the 26th chip. You just have to hold up like the fifth one, and they'd be like, "I'll tell you anything. Yeah. I'll tell you anything you want to know. Just please, please.
Ooh,
I can't eat." And. The dog likes them.
The dog did like them. Well, towards the third one,
she
hesitated a bit before she kind of gingerly opened her mouth to accept it.
But. She looked at me like, are we really doing, we're still doing this? Yeah. We're still doing these chips? Like, I can't. Okay, I'll eat it just to humor you. But don't think I'm going to be eating these every day.
So,
but she is going to be eating them every day.
Unless this could also go to work to the staff lounge throwaway snack table.
Yeah.
You know somebody will grab these, though.
And I did get reprimanded at work this week a little bit by somebody who brought in a bag of jumbo marshmallows and threw them on the table. Just like here. And I laugh. I saw him sitting there and I was getting my lunch out of the refrigerator and I saw him and I laughed and I made a comment and it just so happened that the person that brought them was in the room and it was very, you know, didn't understand why I thought that was weird. And I'm like, well, because what is this rule that you can bring anything and throw it down and like people will eat it? But the sad thing about it is they will. Because I think that people did eat those marshmallows. Like, oh, I'm going to make a copy. Oh, a marshmallow. Well, it's just like, I guess I'm feeling a little sad. I'll shove this in my face.
It's like there's basically like three like places to deposit your refuse. There's the garbage can, the recycling bin, and the table in the staff lounge. And it'll just all be cleared away magically.
Yeah. Well, because it's not at my old job, it wasn't just food either. It was anything.
Really?
Magazines, books.
Oh, yeah.
Things they cleaned out of their cupboard. Previous job, the best thing anyone ever left on the snack table was an unopened can of yams. And the label was really old. It was like, is this from 1973?
It's like,
and it sat there, and then it was gone. And I was wondering, like, did someone open that and just eat those yams? Or what happened to those yams? Or did someone just finally get pissed and toss it?
I think somebody just threw them away.
I wanted to be that person, but I refrained. I was like, fine, you want to get rid of your yams from 1975? That's fine. I don't even know what would possess you, but...
Because it's been in your cupboard forever, and you're like, oh, well the food shelf won't even accept this, so I'll just take it to work.
Well, that tells you how much people think about their coworkers, though. Here you go. And so at the beginning of the summer, somebody brought in a tray of candy at my job, and it was... all their Valentine's Day candy and Christmas M&Ms. So it was like those conversation hearts. Oh. Christmas M&Ms already opened, put into a bowl. And I took a picture of it and put it on Twitter. It was laughing. People ate that. Those candy hearts were going. I'm like, oh, please, people.
My God, just throw it away.
Stop it.
Throw it in the garbage.
If I'm standing there eating those candy hearts, I can't like myself.
Yeah, exactly.
What am I doing?
It's like a form of self-hatred.
I live in the first world. I have access to any food I want. I can spend $5.69 on snacks at Whole Foods. I don't need candy hearts. But I don't know. It's all about what's... accessible, I guess, at the moment. This has been a digression. So
yes.
We have some more foods.
So now kind of like, so after those Korean barbecue seaweed chips, you really need a palate cleanser.
Yeah, you needed something sweet and to make you forget. So we got the Himalaya. Oh, what? Himalaya dark chocolate hemp seeds. So these are individually chocolate-covered hemp seeds. I hope this is an automated process, or some third world children have had a very busy time covering each seed with chocolate, so that we can sit here and like throw them into our mouths. They're touting them as having lots of fiber, omegas, and magnesium. It's like, I kind of had it with all these things that we need to be putting into. It's like, come on. People survived on potatoes.
Yeah.
I mean, And so they're good, but they're only really good because of the chocolate.
Exactly.
I mean, just eat some chocolate.
Yeah.
They're grown sustainably on the fertile prairies of, wait for it, Canada. Himalaya toasted hemp seeds are carefully selected and enrobed in premium dark chocolate.
Oh, they're not just covered.
No.
They're enrobed.
Enrobed. I kind of want to use that word more. I'm enrobed in this outfit today. The combination of dark chocolate and hemp seeds makes indulging your sweet tooth possible. While taking in healthy benefits, I want to add that they had a bag of chocolate-covered chia seeds.
Which are even smaller.
Chia seeds are smaller than hemp seeds. So I don't know how this covering is I'm sorry. I don't know how this enrobing is taking place, but this seems labor-intensive. That bag was $10.99 for these chocolate-covered chia seeds. This wasn't much cheaper at like $8.99.
But really, these are not an easy snack item, though, because they're so tiny and round.
We found a spoon. You need to pour them
into a bowl.
We
were trying to, like, use our hands, and it's like, you can't really.
I just had a good idea, though. A sundae. So
a good sundae topping.
Scoop of ice cream. Sprinkle on the dark chocolate hemp seeds so you don't have to feel guilty. Maybe a little kind of sauce, like a fudge or a caramel.
Carob.
I hate carob. That would be delicious.
That would be good. I was also thinking, like, what if you use these instead of chocolate chips in cookies?
Oh, God. Oh, no. Don't be that person. Because then, I don't know. I mean, I guess if they're just for you, but don't take them to, like, a function. You're like, what are these? And you're like, those are chocolate-covered hemp seed cookies. Oh, no. Don't be that person.
I mean, they are very expensive, so I think I just would have to save them for myself.
Yeah,
Take them to a potluck.
Those are really expensive.
Yeah.
I do think that seeds in general are the hot item. Pumpkin seeds, hemp seeds,
yep.
chia seeds, sesame seeds. Get on the seeds.
Anything seeds. Watermelon seeds even saw there. Sprouted watermelon seeds.
And we saw watermelon water, which I could not bring myself to buy.
I've heard
try.
That's good. I might have to try that.
I mean, can't you just get a watermelon and juice it?
Well, it was, there were, they.
So baffling. Like, I just don't understand how they got the water out of the watermelon. They pressed it.
No, I saw a drink where somebody had watermelon water and sparkling water together. It was supposed to be very refreshing.
Water is generally pretty refreshing, so I think
world issues.
Yeah, really, that's exactly how I felt today. So we didn't really get to any Peruvian food. I feel like we kind of shut out the entire continent of Africa, but we were not able to find these foods, these flavors. I did not see African flavors at Whole Foods. I think it's still coming. I don't think we're ready for it yet.
We're just on the edge of that trend, I think.
We just crossed over into some Indian and Thai, and let's just tread water for a while till we get...
Ease our palates, get our palates
We're not
used
ready
to
for
it.
Baobab.
I think my takeaway is that I wouldn't really pass up my usual snacks for one of these. If I look at what we tried today,
there's nothing here that I feel like I really need. No.
For a snack. No, not really.
If you were just happened to be there, would you get some more chocolate covered hemp seeds?
No, me
either. I'm feeling sad that I didn't get those plantain chips.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't think that there's anything here that I would necessarily need.
I'm not like a big snacker, really. I try not to snack. And if I do snack, I try to eat something like that's not processed like these things are. But if I was going to eat something processed, like if I was going to get a bag of popcorn, like the flavor it was going to be like cheese. I'm sorry. I'm not going to have an ethnic snack.
No?
Because, I mean, I love all
You're
the flavors.
Anti-ethnic.
No. I would rather cook a meal with those flavors than eat that in a snack. It tastes too fake.
It's a lot of powdered things.
I'd rather have powdered cheese on some popcorn.
Yes.
Yum.
I wanted to close this episode with one more trend you may already have heard of because it's been building, you know, probably over the past year through spring, definitely over the summer. And there was a big article about it in the New York Times, I think in March. And the trend is coloring books for adults. And apparently, coloring for adults is on the rise across America for a variety of reasons. Number one, it's calming. It can be a great stress reliever. you know, it's a way to dip your toe into doing something creative that's pretty low risk. I think something that people always say about making art is that they can't draw. And here, you know, that's been taken care of for you by some really great artists. So all you have to do is think about the way you want something to look. And it's fun. And it's fun to, you know, move your crayons or colored pencils or markers across the paper. And a lot of people say it's actually pretty meditative for them. And there have been some coloring clubs that have popped up where people meet monthly at a cafe or a bookstore or in someone's home to sit and color and talk, have some snacks, you know, all around good time. And no sooner did this New York Times article, which is actually about an artist who produced the most popular adult coloring book that's called The Secret Garden. This is what the article was about. It was about this artist, Joanna Basford. And no sooner did this article come out than I saw someone that I'm friends with on Facebook post the article in order to be able to say, you know, how much this sucks, how stupid it is for adults to sit around coloring, you know, basically what a bunch of irresponsible weaklings. Who do these people think they are coloring? They're not children. They're also not real adults. And this really made me sad. I didn't comment on the post because, you know, I just don't have the strength to take that stuff on all the time. But I thought it was sad because I think coloring is a great thing. It's a hobby for anyone, even the very busy. And I like to draw more than I've liked to color at this point in my life. But I'm getting more excited about coloring because there's all these new books that are flooding the marketplace. And most of us, you know, we don't want to color a scene from Frozen unless it is with kids, our own, or some children that we enjoy hanging out with. But there's so many options right now. And like I said, one of the best-selling books of the summer is the coloring book that's geared to adults, The Secret Garden, which has sold over 2 million copies at this point. And at one point went out of stock, out of print, and they had to print up some more. It always baffles me when people are down on something that other people find fun and particularly important, that something that hurts no one. You know, if you don't like it, no one's forcing you to color. You can go sit around and watch football. But maybe you should try it. You might like it. After all, what's wrong with coloring a scene from Secret Paris while eating cookies and laughing with your friends? Isn't that what we need more of in this crazy, all-digital, social media-driven society we're so busy building? I mean, a coloring group is actual human contact, and I'm all for that. So put crayon or marker to paper and check out some of these coloring book options that I've found for you. Number one is Secret New York, Color Your Way to Calm. There's also Secret Paris, Color Your Way to Calm. And it's just scenes of city life in these particular cities. So New York has, you know, hot dog stand, a fire escape. There's a page of tote bags. There's a page of sneakers. It's just super fun. So that's number one pick. Number two, Color Me Mindful Underwater. Beautiful underwater scenes you can color. Three, really cool coloring book number one, Dream Homes and Interiors. This is to entice all of you who like to watch HGTV. You could take it a step further and actually color your own interior instead of just watching, you know, these houses that other people live in. Four, the 1990s coloring book, All That and a Box of Crayons. Five, Viva la Color, Japan, featuring 72 tear-out pages of beautiful Japanese scenes. Six is Lost Ocean. This is from the artist who created Secret Garden, and it's available now to pre-order on Amazon. I like the description. Readers will meet shoals of exotic fish, curious octopi, and delicately penned seahorses. Visit coral reefs and barnacle-studded shipwrecks. Discover intricate shells and pirate treasure. 7 is Fantasy Cities, a coloring book of fantastic places real and imagined. I'm going to get this one. Its description is immersive aerial views of real cities from around the world alongside gorgeously illustrated Inception-like architectural mandalas. I've never known how to say that word. Is it mandala? Mandala? Mandala. I think that's right. 8 is 2 books, Meditation Coloring Book and the Anti-Stress Coloring Book. So these are just shapes and doodles and patterns that can really put you into a nice meditative state. So those are just the tip of the coloring iceberg, people. You can go online and check out all your coloring book options. There's so many. You might want to have a coloring contest with some friends, or you can just spend a Sunday afternoon by yourself coloring a picture and listen to podcasts. Doesn't that sound so relaxing? Actually, it makes me kind of look forward to fall and winter, which is a pretty hard thing to make me do. I wanted to close by mentioning that I forgot one crucial item of fall fashion, and that's the beanie. You're going to have to get a beanie or two, or a dozen beanies. It's either a beanie or a beret. Yes, it's back, the beret. You can blame Wes Anderson if you want. I have always had mixed feelings about the beret, but all this talk about whimsical coloring books leads me to believe that there might be space in my heart for berets. After all, some people enjoy them, and they really don't hurt anyone. As long as you do not wear one while also riding a bike and toting home a loaf of French bread. I mean, then as long as you don't do that, I'm cool. So until next time, stay colorful. Get some chocolate-covered hemp seeds. I think these things are kind of growing on me. And clean out your closet.